Happy 1 year COVID anniversary.
Happy 1 year COVID anniversary. Yay. Campus got shut down a year ago. Fun.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. It's me and Isabel again, and welcome back to Wellness Weekly.
We hope that you guys are having a good week and staying sane despite finals.
Disclaimer. We recognize that the tone of saying or opening with happy 1 year COVID anniversary makes it sound like it was a fun time, which we all recognize it wasn't, but we're kind of trying to add a lighthearted tone and cope with the struggles that everyone has gone through humor, and we hope that you guys see it from our perspective and understand where we're sort of coming from.
Yes, like we meant it in an entirely ironic way, mm-hmm. not to minimize the experiences that people have really struggled with during this pandemic. Now that we have approached the 1 year anniversary of campus closing in response to the coronavirus, and I remember at this time we still probably thought we would have spring quarter in person, but so many things have changed since then, and we just wanted to make an episode where we reflect on what we've learned since we both wrote articles at the beginning of the pandemic last year describing what life was like for us at the very beginning of isolation.
Absolutely, yeah. So the Wellness Weekly column, at the Daily, they started an isolation column, and both of us, it sort of rotated on different writers, and both of us contributed to that column. And so we thought it would be a fun idea to take a look back at what our old selves that, you know, had just been newly experiencing the pandemic, what we thought, and reflect on our writing. So, yeah. Low-key roasting us, our old selves. So we hope you enjoy that with us.
So Nora, how has your perspective changed since your isolation diaries post? And I believe you wrote it very close to the beginning of quarantine, right?
Yeah, I did. It was, I believe, like a few weeks into... It was after spring quarter started, So yeah, I that quarter, I remember I was experiencing a lot of existential dread, ironically, and was sort of combined with the existential dread that was triggered by the pandemic, and I just was sort of just trying to figure out why I'm doing college during that time. It, like, I started, like, from the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna be doing this. And I think, weirdly enough, I thought, like, I don't know if it's because I'm a biochem major, I don't know, I don't think it's related, to be honest. I'm someone who likes to think ahead of the future, and I think at that point, I felt like this was not gonna go away, like, we're not going to stop quarantining or isolating anytime soon. Reflecting on that person, I was experiencing a lot of uncertainty. I didn't know how to deal with it in a healthy way. I was very fortunate to be able to have a support system to help me, you know, stabilize my mental health. But now I think I'm in a much better place regarding existential dread that is tied to the pandemic and the mental health struggles that the pandemic caused.
It's good that you've noticed a definite improvement, because I know, like, it's not easy to, like, feel as though you're staying in control of your mental health during a pandemic, like, no matter how much of a shock it is versus how used to it you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that I was trying to sort of come to terms with was the idea that we're going to be probably quarantining for a while, for a year plus. I was already at that stage very, like, couldn't accept it. So I think at this point I think I accept it a lot better. in a good way. Like, I, you know, just sort of, I don't know, like, doesn't cause me a lot of anxiety as much as it used to. Yeah. What about you, Isabel? Your article has a lot to cover.
So, in it, in my own article titled 12 Weeks at Home and Counting, how ironic now that it's been 12 months, I talk about how jarring the first couple weeks of quarantine were and how I feel like at that time I still really was not used to, like, wearing masks or not seeing my friends or anything. And at that point, I feel as though I was kind of operating from, like, maybe a bit more of a selfish perspective than I am now. Mm. I was more like, well, darn, like, my college experience, like, my friends, I can't see them. Mm. Like, seeing it as a bit more of a, like, this is impacting me, as opposed to now, where I feel like I see it much as a, like, this is impacting the society, and I will gladly do whatever I can to minimize, like, the harm to other people within my community, and that's why I will, like, social distance and wear a mask. So yeah. I think, like, the first few weeks were definitely, I was just like, why is this happening? Like, I mean, looking back, I'm like, it definitely did not impact me nearly as much as it did many people. But at the time, I was just like, seriously, this is terrible. I cannot deal. But then I also feel like I felt a lot of pressure to, like, you know, make quarantine my oyster and and, like, get really good at cooking and all of that.
Right. There was a lot of pressure from people being like, oh my God, this is your chance to, like, discover your talents and, like, make the most out of your time, because there's a lot less time commuting. There's a lot less time, like, you know, just saving up time because you're doing everything physically in one place. And there was a lot of, like, hype and, like, pressure, I feel like, personally, from people being like, oh, what have you learned in quarantine? Like, that was a very common question. And now I'm like, all I do is lay down and make sure that I'm not mentally and emotionally drained, and I'm proud of that. Like, I don't care if I do something productive in the day, you know? Versus back then, it felt like, no, I have to do something productive with my time, and, like, you know? So that's definitely, I relate to that.
Another thing I wrote about is, like, staying in contact with my friends and trying really hard to figure out creative ways to do so. And I feel like now, a year in, having not seen most of my friends in person in, like, this whole 12-month period, it, you know, like, has been fairly tough, but there's also, I feel like, an unspoken, like, friendship amnesty. I've heard this term from other people, where, like, even if you aren't staying in regular contact now, like, you'll pick things up when it's safe to be back in person.
Mm. No, I feel you. I feel you a lot. Like, in the beginning, there was a lot of, like, mental and physical effort to be like, let's, you know, let's think of the best ways to keep in contact, and let's try to, like, do something regular, like a regular Zoom call, you know. And I think right now everyone, it sort of plateaued, the effort sort of plateaued, and everyone is just like, you know, it's okay if we don't talk every week, like, you know, as long as we check in on each other, we make sure that we're mentally doing well. We don't have to, like, we can reserve sort of our energy for other things. But yeah, I feel you.
Like, peace out, guys. I'll see you when we're vaccinated.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I love your article because I relate to everything that you said. And I feel like it's exactly, like, sort of the state of mind that I was in 12 months ago. Yeah, so I don't know. There's so many things. Oh, in my article, something similar to the 12 weeks at home and counting. I started my article with, like, oh, quarantine day, and then
question mark, question mark. And now I'm looking at, oh my God, quarantine day? What do you mean? Like, honey, this has been going on for months. And it was, I already lost track of days when it was just a couple of days. I already, so that is, yeah, that's hilarious.
I like how you talk about the constants in quarantine. I feel like a lot of those have stayed relatively consistent, like being behind in classes, check, at least like for me, being well-fed for the first time since college, and existential crises. Given our episode last week.
Trust me. Yeah, these, okay, so if we're trying to compare on the things that changed versus the things that didn't, yeah, for sure. I agree that, you know, being behind on classes has just progressed more and more to new levels of being behind in classes, where it's like, I'm not gonna watch lectures until my midterm is coming up, and then I will watch all the lectures together. Don't do what I'm saying, guys. Like, this is terrible. Like, you will literally have the worst, like, it's just too much anxiety. But yeah, you find creative ways. This is what you find. This is what I've been doing. Like, you find creative ways to procrastinate. Like, how long can I stay without doing the homework before I absolutely have to start working on it? Yeah, and also being well fed. Like, I don't know, back when we used to go to classes in person, I just absolutely, it was extremely hard for me to coordinate sort of a regular food schedule where, and also like a regular, like, you know, meals that are nutritionist. And I would argue that the campus options were not nutritionist, to be honest. So when I would be like walking to class and I have like 10 minutes in between, so I would like grab something from a food cart or something, and it would be not the best thing to be eating. So definitely this is one thing that's positive. Yeah. What about you? What are some, how have you been keeping up with being well fed?
I would say my dad and brother are both really good cooks. So when I went home with my family at the beginning of the pandemic, I was thriving. I was like, this is like living at a restaurant, because,
oh my God,
kind of like you, I had a harder time like coordinating meals on campus with my schedule and everything. And I would often just like grab and go like something sugary or like something super like not healthy, just to kind of like have the energy for classes and all that.
Absolutely.
Whereas my dad is like often on a health kick, and so like I did eat pretty healthy at home. I would say since I moved back into a house with some friends, I am mostly living on frozen food, but you know, like I'll take what I can get. And
yeah.
Like, what advice would you tell yourself at the beginning of the pandemic? What would you say, knowing now that it'll last for well over a year?
I think I would say a few things. The biggest thing I would tell to myself is be compassionate with yourself. Like I used to hold myself to standards of productivity that are not, like, that were before the pandemic, you know? So it's like, why am I not being productive enough? Like, I used to be this much productive before the pandemic. Why am I not being as productive as that? And I used to not be compassionate with myself, and it took me such a long time to realize that everyone is going through this. It's not a you thing, you know? Like, nothing is wrong with you, you know? So I think, and this applies not just to being productive. I think there's so many things, and so many struggles that were sort of triggered by my time in isolation, that I, like, you know, dealing with existential dread, I would tell myself, be compassionate. It's okay to deal with existential dread, but you don't have to figure it out all now. You don't have to know all the answers, you know? Like, it's okay. Like, take your time. Just, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that probably would apply to multiple aspects of my life. What about you?
Absolutely. I think your point about productivity is so important. Like, I feel as though I took this pandemic to learn a lot more about, like, you know, like, what's wrong with the world and, like, capitalism and holding ourselves to very high standards of productivity, like, just isn't feasible, like, a great deal of the time. And, yeah, like you said, I would also, like, tell myself, you know, it's okay if you can't do this reading or you can't do this assignment. I would also tell myself, like, you don't have to have, like, the perfect quarantine where, like, you blow up and, you know, like, take on a bunch of new hobbies and everything. Like, it's okay to just, like, do what you gotta do to, yeah, like, take care of yourself and not push yourself to accomplish so much given the circumstances. Any final thoughts on COVID's first birthday?
I just hope that we're not gonna be doing an episode a year from now and being like, hey, let's listen back to an episode of Wellness Weekly and see, reflect on our old selves. Because then it will be like a loop. But yeah, that's my hope. That's my final thought. That would be, yeah. One thing I'm doing with my friend that I want to share with you guys is sort of actively trying to do one act of kindness towards yourself every day. And it's not something, like, it can't be like something that you usually do. Like, it has to be something that you're actively doing to yourself that particular day.
I love that. That's so sweet. And I think that's something that's so important to do, especially when, like, we may feel a little more cut off from most of our support systems now. Like, we are our number one support system.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so important to remember, like, you can be your number one cheerleader. I mean, like, easier said than done, but. Well, thank you everyone so much for listening. We hope you have a lovely week.
We hope you join us next week.